Welcome to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa Caprio. Do you believe in magic? What if you were told that all you had to do was get a little creative and work a magic spell to bring anything you can imagine into your life? Here on Postcards to the Universe, we will share manifesting, tips, postcards, creativity, abundance, and prosperity. Here is your host, Melissa Caprio.
Hello and welcome to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa, creating the life you crave. I hope everyone had a wonderful Thanksgiving this year. It was nice for us and me personally. It was nice to be with family. Last year was, you know, a little different. So we got to get together with more people this year, which was really nice. And I hope you got to be with your loved ones also. Today I have photographer and storyteller John Noltner on. He is the creator of Peace of My Mind, and he's going to be joining me in just a few minutes. And he's doing a really, really beautiful and interesting project. So we're going to talk all about that in just a few. For those of you who are new to my show and you're listening to me for the first time, I am also a photographer and an author, and my book is titled Postcards to the Universe, Harness the Universe's Power and Manifest Your Dreams. And in my book, there are 30 manifesting stories along with photographs that I took of the contributors' manifesting postcards and how their manifestations became the reality. So I include those stories and writing exercises to help us get clear on what we want to manifest in our lives. And there's a toolbox full of fun exercises on how to manifest love, money, health, career, and so much more. You know, the end of the year is almost here. So 2022, what do you want to manifest in your life? I would start thinking about it. And if you're interested in doing these inner work exercises and reading people's incredible journeys of transformation, inspiration, and manifesting, you can find my book, Postcards to the Universe, on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or any of your favorite bookstores, and purchase a copy. Those of you who listen to me on a regular basis know that each week I share a Magic Monday message, and it's an image of a manifesting postcard that I photograph with an affirmation that I like to focus on. I like to focus on affirmations. I try to tap into the energy of the affirmation and keep repeating it to myself to increase its power to become a new belief that I incorporate into my life. And this week's magic message is, I manifest my dreams. And essentially, manifestation is bringing something tangible into your life through attraction and belief and energy. If you think about it, if you feel it, it will come. And manifesting is also known as co-creating because it's a collaboration between you and the universe, which is exactly why knowing what you want is only half the battle. You don't see any results. Well, you may see some results, but you don't see the big results without action. So you have to set time aside to think about the steps you can take to reach your goals and then build them into your routine. For example, if you want to make a move, start researching places you would like to go and take some road trips to these locations and see how you feel. Or if you want to bring a relationship into your life, maybe you should set up a dating profile. Just saying, sitting on the couch and waiting to see what shows up isn't really very productive. Although you could get asked out by the delivery guy, because that happened to me one time. Another way to be is to be in action when manifesting is to ask yourself the question, what would my future look like? What is my future self doing? So try to think of your future self and what would be going on in your life when you want to manifest that dream. The next step is to be mindful and, of course, thankful for what you receive. I talk about gratitude all the time. Letting go of how you think it should come and any resistance and limiting beliefs is always important. And make sure you are aware of the energy that you're putting out in the world, because that's the energy we get back. So lifting our energy is actually something that's super important for us to cultivate joy and happiness and for us to manifest what we want. Ask the universe for what you want and keep an eye out for the signs of achievement or success. The only thing stopping you from manifesting your dreams is you. That's something I have to remind myself of all the time. Okay, so to see the images of my magic messages with the affirmations, you can see them on my website, postcardstotheuniverse.com, or any of my social media platforms, and I post them each week. And you can also, if you're on Facebook, join my Facebook group, Postcards of Love. I share inspirational images and stories, lots of animal stories. I'm so attracted to those good animal stories. Okay. Next week, oh, before I got that, I almost forgot. So I got an award. I was a finalist for my book, Postcards to the Universe, which was a really nice surprise. I wasn't expecting it. So my book got an award for being a finalist for first nonfiction, and I posted about that. So that was a really nice Thanksgiving surprise. So see? Being gratitude works. Next week, I have returning guest, psychic trans channel, Reverend Gregory Possman. And on this episode, Gregory is going to be channeling Viwamis, guardian of the earth, and how ghosts and spirits affect the earth plane. So that's just going to be a really fun show. I'm excited to see what he says. Okay. Now, to get to my guest today, I'm so excited to talk with him. John Noltner, A Piece of My Mind, is a multimedia arts project created by the award-winning photographer John Noltner. And he uses portraits and personal stories to bridge divides and encourage dialogue around important issues. Through exhibits, workshops, lectures, on-site studios, and distance learning, A Piece of My Mind leads transformative experiences that help a polarized world rediscover the common humanity that connects us. He's a gifted storyteller. Noltner has worked on 4 continents, gathering stories of human courage, grace, and resilience. He has produced projects for national magazines, Fortune 500 companies, and nonprofit organizations. A Piece of My Mind reflects his belief that art and storytelling can help individuals, organizations, and communities articulate their deepest values and encourage action toward building social capital and community connections. Frustrated with an increasing polarized social landscape, award-winning photographer John Noltner sets out on a 40,000-mile road trip across the United States to rediscover the common humanity that connects us. He did so by asking people one simple question: what does peace, P-E-A-C-E, mean to you? Through difficult conversations, gentle humor, and a keen eye for beauty, Noltner's Portraits of Peace captures a rich collage of who we are as a nation. And Portraits of Peace is his new book, which you can find on his website. I'm going to spell it for you. It's apomm.net. That's apomm.net. Welcome, John. Thanks for being here with me today.
Hey, Melissa, thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to being in conversation with another photographer and author.
Thank you. Yes, I love your project. It's so beautiful. So before we get into how this all came about, are you on the road currently? Where did you spend your Thanksgiving?
Oh, you know what? So my wife and I lived in Minnesota. A year ago, we sold our house and bought an RV, and we've been on the road a good part of the time. We're taking a little break. Our trailer is out in California. We are back in Minnesota and staying with friends.
Nice. Yeah, that's nice. I mean, that's kind of exciting the way that you just decided one day, you know what, I'm selling it and I'm going on the road, you know? Like, as a photographer, like, a lot of people don't understand that, but as a photographer, I understand it. Like, I understand how you could be attracted to doing that. But before we get into your Portraits of Peace, which is your book that's just come out now, you've been working on this project, A Piece of My Mind, P-E-A-C-E. That's peace, you know, like, guys like the peace sign, for a while now. So can you share a little bit about what is it and why you started it?
Yeah, you know, I've been working on this project for a dozen years now, and it came out of my frustration with the quality of our national dialogue and all the things that ask us to look at what might divide us. And I wondered if there was something I could do with my photography and storytelling instead to rediscover what connects us. And so through this really simple process, we just sit down with people from all different backgrounds and we have this conversation rooted around the central question, what does peace mean to you? But really, that's just the entry point for all of these conversations about race and gender and class and international policy and national priorities. It, more than anything else, it becomes an exercise in deep listening, and it allows people to come to the table with what's really close to their hearts. So we do these interviews, and we, because I'm a photographer, we do a portrait of the person, and then we share these stories in all sorts of different formats. We have a podcast. I've got 4 traveling exhibits that go around the country. We've got now 3 different books, and we do this public programming that uses the stories to facilitate public dialogue, to get people to come to the table and realize that that we're all a part of the solution, that we can all be a part of the process of finding ways to live better together.
It's such a beautiful project. And of course, I was lucky enough to get a copy of the book. So I got to be reading and seeing the beautiful photos. And it's, some of the stories are amazing. How do you find people? I mean, because some of the stories that people are sharing very intimate things, you know, very painful things. And how do you find these people that are willing to share with you?
Well, it's interesting because when you create a space for deep listening, when people feel like they're truly being heard, they'll really share some powerful things. And you're right, these conversations become emotional, they become really personal, and there's, you know, there's great beauty and wisdom in all of them. When we're trying to figure out who to interview, of course, the challenge is, how do you drop into New York City and decide to interview 5 people when there's another, you know, untold millions that also deserve to tell their story? But but I usually, I'm a journalist by trade. I'm a writer. And so, you know, there's just research involved. I try to find an advocate in a community. I try to explain the project and what we're trying to do. And then I ask for their help. You know, these advocates are people who have a deep understanding of their community. They have a deep understanding of the issues that I'm trying to talk about, whether we're trying to tap into stories of immigration or race or housing security. So I find those advocates, and then I ask for their help connecting into the community, and then we see who's willing to share. You know, not everybody wants to, you know, share their story quite so publicly, but remarkably, almost everybody we approach does. You know, it's a rare exception when somebody sort of decides to bow out. So a lot of it is deeply research driven and planning driven, but we always leave time as we're traveling for some of that amazing serendipity that happens. So, you know, I was just in Columbus, Mississippi earlier this year. I was really looking forward to a day off because I've been doing a lot of interviews. I had to get caught up on office work, and I'm standing in line in the coffee shop, and I started up a conversation with this guy behind me, whose name is Neil Moore. And I'm like, "So what do you do, Neil?" And he says, "Well, I'm on this 2-year journey to paddle my canoe 7,500 miles across America to remember what this country beautiful and great." And I thought, "Oh shoot, I'm not going to have a day off after."
Yeah. Yeah. This guy's too interesting. We have to, like, yeah, right. Exactly.
There's no way to not do that interview. But when I hear you using language about, you know, manifesting things and that sort of thing, also a part of it for me is being willing to walk through those doors that open up. And so when I'm interviewing a shrimp boat captain in Chauvin, Louisiana, and he says, "Hey, you want to go out looking for alligators in the morning?" The right answer for me is almost always, "Yeah, sure." And then, well, because I'm from Minnesota and that's how we talk. "Yeah, sure." But also then when he says, "If you can stick around one more day, I'll take you out on the Gulf. Shrimping season starts and you can come out shrimping with me." And I will move at that point heaven and earth in my schedule to be able to say yes and to be able to walk through that door and have that experience with somebody who's inviting me in.
Right. Yeah, and I am a big believer. I don't believe in coincidences. I believe everything is divinely, you know, given, you know. So if you're meant to be with that person, it's because you have something that you're offering them and they're offering you, and something is happening there, right? So I don't believe that those, like, oh, coincidences just occur. You're meant to do that. So yeah, I can understand why you would move heaven and earth to make sure that you have that opportunity to do that. And the stories now, do some of the people, because I was going to ask you, and you suggested that most people are willing to share their stories. Do you find some of your stories, like you've interviewed somebody and you listen to their story and they'll tell you, oh, you have to meet my friend so-and-so and see what they're doing. Is that how you find people too? Is it like through word of mouth?
Oh. Yeah, all the time. So right now, the pace that we're traveling and the process that we're using to do these interviews, we might sit in a community for 3 weeks. And I always line up my interviews for that first week. And I usually leave the second 2 weeks open, because everybody you talk to says, oh, you know, you got to meet this person. You've got to go over here and hear this story. And some of that stuff cannot happen until you're on the ground, until you're in relationship and in conversation, and other people start to really see and understand what we're trying to do with these stories.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, all right, we're going to get it. Well, before you do, we're going to get into some of these stories when we come back. So we're at our first break. So let's do our break here, and then we're going to get into some of these interesting stories. So guys, stay tuned, and I'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. OM Times. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hi. I'm Melissa Caprio from Postcards to the Universe, creating the life you crave. Do you believe in magic? What if I told you all you had to do was get a little creative and work a dream spell to bring anything you can imagine into your life? Well, guess what? I've got the spell for you. Postcards to the Universe, a global movement for manifestation, is a casting magical tool for you to use whenever you want. How does living in passion sound to you? Join me in my movement where you get to create in the magical playground. Let's think outside the box and do some playful conjuring. By casting out our desires with a manifesting postcard, we explore our hearts and allow the alchemy of our dreams to appear. And don't forget to tune in each week here on OM Times Radio with my show, Postcards to the Universe, Creating the Life You Crave, at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. I share tips on creativity, abundance, and prosperity, and you will be introduced to the coolest guests, trailblazers, mystics, and creatives who enrich our lives.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
The rainbow is God's promise of hope for you and me. And though the clouds hang heavy and the sun we cannot see, we know above the dark clouds that fill the stormy sky, hope's rainbow will come shining through when the clouds have drifted by. Teresa Caprio is the president and founder of Rainbow Guardian, Inc., a nonprofit 501c3 serving the intellectually challenged / developmentally disabled, including autism. Teresa started the foundation in 1995 so she could help make a better life for her intellectually challenged daughter. Her dream is that the Rainbow Guardian will provide the necessary tools and education to help the public understand the special needs population, because it's often discarded in mainstream society. To find out more or make a donation in support, please go to www.rainbowguardian.org. Rainbow Guardian's special mission is to see these unique people live a happy, full life and have a future of liberty and equality.
So if you're just joining me, I have photographer, storyteller, artist, creator of Peace of My Mind, John Noltner, on today as my guest. So John, before the break, I really kind of want to get into some of these stories, but I do need to mention, because it's not just the book. So when you have an exhibit, because you can see this on his website, which is apomm.net, which stands for... Obviously, it stands for a piece of my mind, right? .net?
Yeah, otherwise right. It's a lot of type. So that's just the acronym.
Yeah, that's just the acronym. There, these huge panels that you have made, which, and I love the way they're displayed, and it has a very straight-on portrait. You do very straight-on portraits. And then it has their story. And it's really powerful, because from the pictures that I see, it looks like it's an exhibit that you walk through. And you're walking big panels to read these stories.
Well, it's interesting, because we've got four exhibits. And the first exhibit that we produced is a typical gallery exhibit that hangs on the walls. And that's great. And we still that in typical galleries, but what we realized was that there were so many places who wanted to have this conversation, who wanted to experience this art, but they didn't have 150 feet of wall space to hang it. And so we produced our next three exhibits as freestanding portable display banners. And so anywhere we have open space, maybe that's a college student union, maybe it's a library, maybe it's a community center or a corporate headquarters in the lobby, we can, this is really flexible, and we can install this exhibit in different ways so that, people walk through it and they experience it in a different way than they experience art that's hanging in the on the walls, because, in the process of viewing these stories, they might sort of rub elbows with somebody else. They might make eye contact with somebody else. And from the very structure itself, it becomes a public experience. And that's a part of the bigger process, is to use this art to engage groups and organizations to facilitate these experiences and these conversations.
Yeah, because that's what you want to do. You want to facilitate conversations for us to be able to have, even though we all have our differences, is for us to live in a world where we are at peace with each other for who we are, P-E-A-C-E, peace with each other. That's the goal of the project?
Yeah, the goal of the project is to figure out how to live better together. And so what we want to invite people to do is three things. One is to listen deeply. As we move quickly through life and through society with some of the noise and the animosity around us, we don't always take the time to listen deeply. So we encourage that. We want to encourage people to challenge their own expectations. You might walk up to an image and have some preconceived notions of who that person is or what they have to say. But then when you read that story, odds are you're going to have that challenged. You're going to start to see a little bit of their complexity. You're going to start to see beyond that initial label you wanted to put on them. Listen deeply, challenge your expectations. And the third one is to encourage people to keep showing up, keep coming to the table, because all of these divisive issues we're dealing with as a society, none of them are going to be solved in one quick rant. None of them are going to be resolved through a brief encounter or conversation. All of them are going to require us to come intentionally to the table and stay engaged with one another so that we can figure out that path forward.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And when I was looking at going through your book, and I want you to share maybe some stories, if you wouldn't mind, that stick out, some of your stories that do. But you start off in the introduction with Hashim's story. Am I saying his name right, Hashim?
Yeah, Hashim Garrett.
Okay. I just want to make sure I'm pronouncing his name right. Hashim's story. And I thought it was really interesting because you have a young, you know, black man who was shot and was paralyzed. And instead of being angry about what happened to him, he had a whole different perspective. And I really thought that was really kind of interesting that that's how you started with the introduction, you know, of the book. So, because he had to use a wheelchair, but he could use crutches too. But he took total responsibility of what happened to him and how he turned that around. And I thought, well, that's pretty incredible, because many people would be bitter and would blame their upbringing and their background for what happened. But that wasn't his experience. So can you share a little bit more about that? And then you can share some more of your stories that really stand out.
Yeah, of course. I love Hashim's story. And he shares it in order to help others make choices about what they're going to do in their lives. And in fact, I just traded messages with Hashim, and a lot of these people I still keep in touch with. So the backstory is that when Hashim was growing up in Brooklyn, he was scared a lot. He was picked on a lot. And he one day figured out that, well, maybe if he befriended his tormentors, that they wouldn't torment him so much. And that worked out for a little while. But then that group of kids, they started skipping school. They started, you know, stealing stuff out of the convenience store. They started hurting people. And, you know, Hashim found that he was in a gang. You know, that was this group that he was connected with. And he said when he was good, he said there was something actually intoxicating about being in that gang, because he said when he was good, nobody knew who he was. But when he was bad, everybody knew his name.
Interesting.
So he said there was nothing but tragedy that could have broken that spell for him. And for him, some other gang members were upset with him. They called him out and ambushed him and shot him, and he was paralyzed from the waist down. And he said as he was laying on the ground and he wasn't sure if he was going to live or die, that's when he realized that he didn't want to be feared, but he wanted to be loved. And as we had this interview, you know, he said that he helping and showing people love, that's rewarding to him. That it's important to him that we're all imperfect. And if he wants people to love him with his flaws, so he has to love them with their flaws. But then he said this thing that has stuck with me to this day. And he said, I want to love those who haven't shown me love. Mm-hmm. And I want to be kind to those who may not have deserved my kindness. And for me, that a bit, like, it's easy to love the people that love you back, right?
Sure.
That's not a big
right.
challenge. But if we can love the ones that challenge us, if we can love the ones that we're in tension with, then I think we're on holy ground. I mean, I think that's transformative.
Yeah, that's what really stuck out to me too about his story, was him saying that, you know, he wanted to embrace those that were acting very unlovable, you know. And it's like, and it's a good reminder, because I mean, just think about, well, maybe you don't, but I still do sometimes. I'm cut off in traffic. I'm not feeling very lovable about the person who just cut me off, you know.
Yeah, that's you and me, the other human in face of the earth, I think.
Yeah, so it's and from his how he could have, like I said, he could have totally played the victim card, and he chose not to. And I'm always fascinated by people who make those choices, you know, and how they turn their life around because something in them said, you know, what what role do I want to be playing here with my life? You know, do I want to be the victim or the victor? And it, and he, from your story, is obviously the victor. So you want to share maybe another story or two? That's really, there's so many, so I'm going to let you choose. A story or two that's really stood out to you?
Of course. And, you know, I think so many times we're under the impression that if we give in, if we don't fight back in sort of the expected way, that that's a position of weakness. But in fact, I look at Hashim's story, and that is just a powerful position of strength to be able to offer that sort of love and grace to everyone around him. You know, and I think these stories that inspire me, that draw me in, as the project has developed, I love these stories where people choose to forgive unforgivable circumstances, or they've chosen love when hate would have come easily. And these are the stories that inspire me and that I want to amplify so that we can, you know, use that as our model for how we move forward. So, you know, Angela Bates in Nicodemus, Kansas. So Nicodemus was settled by freed slaves after the Civil War. And, you know, all of the people who still live there are direct descendants of those freed slaves. And they were really proud of this heritage, as they should be. And Angela said she feels like she's a descendant of people with great courage, power and faith in God. And so they wanted to honor this in some way. And so the community got together, they approached the National Park Service and said, hey, can we, you know, somehow commemorate this history? And so, but here's where we get tone deaf as a society and as individuals. Eventually the Park Service said, yeah, we can do that. And they built this great interpretive center about this community that was settled by freed slaves, and then they staffed it with all white people. You know, it doesn't make any sense, right? And Angela, and now the Park Service has evolved and gotten better, and that's no longer the case. You know, they've got a diverse staff that works there to help tell this story. But Angela talked about how frustrating this process was. Yes, they got their interpretive center, but it was an outside organization that came in to tell their story, and they wanted in Nicodemus to tell their own story as well. Because she said, you know, we're never going to know where it is we're going if we don't also reckon with where it is we've been. And so they got together as a community, and they opened their own Nicodemus Historical Society so that they could tell their own story as well. And Angela said that she realized in that process that she had a choice about how she was going to respond to the world around her. And I think in reality, we all have that choice almost on a daily basis, right? We can't choose those things that happen to us, but we absolutely can choose the way we respond to it. And so for me, these stories of making an intentional choice about sitting in tension at that intersection where things could move towards conflict or they could move towards healing, and these people who have made a choice to turn away from pain and turn towards healing, I find profoundly moving.
Yeah. Yeah. And you talk about forgiveness, you know, that comes up a lot. So how, you know, is there a story specifically that you could share with us about forgiveness and how we can forgive maybe others who have wronged us or forgive ourselves that stand out in your mind?
Yeah, this is, you know, and there are several stories about forgiveness. Mm. One that was just really powerful and profound for me was when I got to go to Oklahoma City and meet a man named Bud Welch. And Bud's only daughter graduated from Marquette University in 1995. She was fluent in five languages, and she got a job as a translator in the federal building in Oklahoma City for the Social Security Administration. And of course, just a few short months later, Timothy McVeigh blew up the building, and Julie Marie and, you know, 180 other people died that day, and Bud fell apart. You know, like you would expect He became an alcoholic. He lost his businesses. He really wanted nothing more than for Timothy McVeigh to be executed. Just get that guy off the face of the earth and let me move on with my life however I can. But then Bud saw a news clipping with Timothy McVeigh's father on it, and he looked at the guy and he said, man, that guy looks as wrecked as I am. You know, his world fell apart on the same day that mine did, and he realized that he wanted to reach out to Tim McVeigh's father to let him know that he didn't blame him for that thing that his son had done. And it took Bud like 3 years before he found the opportunity and found the courage, but eventually he was sitting in the McVeigh family house at the kitchen table, all of the family portraits looking down, including Tim McVeigh's, and Bud said that was the day he realized that he didn't want Timothy McVeigh to die. And he worked against the execution of Tim McVeigh. He wasn't successful, but then he went on to work against capital punishment around the world, he said, because he realized that he got no sense of relief. He got no sense of peace from the loss of one more life. And he finished that up by saying, you know, he said, I realized that I was forgiving Tim. And he said, I don't know how to teach it, but I know I went through it. And he said, I'll tell you one thing, forgiveness doesn't do a damn thing for the killer, but you totally free yourself. And that's where the good comes from.
Yeah, see, that's what's so hard about forgiveness, because, you know, we all been wronged on some level, and we feel like when we forgive, we're saying that it's okay, and it's never that it's being saying that it's okay what happened. It's just you don't want to carry around the bitterness and the hatred and the anger in your heart, because what it is it's making you sick, right? It's not hurting the person. Yeah, right. So that's the thing about forgiveness. But there's so much more I want to talk to you about, but I want to take our next break now, because we're at the next break time. So let's do it now before we delve into more conversations. I love this stuff. Thank you. Guys, stay tuned. Be back in a couple.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Imagine yourself being transported to India, to the banks of the Ganga and an ashram in Rishikesh. Visualize that you are welcome to satsang with an American sannyasi who shares the wisdom of her guru. Your visualization has manifested. Join Satvi Bhagavati Saraswati for inspiration and transformation every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio.
Hi, I'm Melissa Caprio from Postcards to the Universe, creating the life you crave. Do you believe in magic? What if I told you all you had to do was get a little creative and work a dream spell to bring anything you can imagine into your life? Well, guess what? I've got the spell for you. Postcards to the Universe, a global movement for manifestation, is a casting magical tool for you to use whenever you want. How does living in passion sound to you? Join me in my movement where you get to create in the magical playground. Let's think outside the box and do some playful conjuring. By casting out our desires with a manifesting postcard, we explore our hearts and allow the alchemy of our dreams to appear. And don't forget to tune in each week here on Om Times Radio with my show, Postcards to the Universe, Creating the Life You Crave at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. I share tips on creativity, abundance, and prosperity, and you will be introduced to the coolest guests, trailblazers, mystics, and creatives who enrich our lives.
Coping 19, brought to you by CDC and the Ad Council.
If you're feeling increasingly lonely right now, you're not alone. It's totally normal. Even though we may not be able to get together in person, connecting virtually with friends and family still gives you a chance to interact with people and may help raise your spirits. Join a virtual book club, set up group text chats, or online video coffee breaks with coworkers.
Find more self-care and coping tips at coping-19.org.
Welcome back. So, John, during the break, I have your book and I'm looking at your chapters and some of the titles of the contents of each chapter. And you say things like offer grace, forgive, work together, cultivate gratitude, be willing to be uncomfortable, which I thought was really interesting. What mm-hmm. do you mean by be willing to be uncomfortable?
Well, you know, I think sometimes we try to shield ourselves. We try to make sure that we don't get in awkward situations. We make sure that we don't find ourselves challenged in any way. And we sort of put up these barriers that we think are going to protect us, but in the process, we actually insulate ourselves from some of the best of humanity and some really real engagements. And so, you know, that particular chapter talks about when I was going down to Alabama and I had the chance to interview Joanne Bland. And Joanne Bland marched from Selma to Montgomery when she was a little girl with Dr. King in support of voter rights. But I had the chance to sit with her in her living room 12 days after Michael Brown was shot in Ferguson, Missouri. Right. Mm-hmm. So there were some really uncomfortable parts of that conversation, not because of anything Joanne said or did. She was a gracious host, but because of the dynamics of what's going on in our country. And here I am, this middle-aged white guy from up north, coming down and sitting with a civil rights icon in her living room while she's frustrated and she's dismayed that we have not yet finished the work that she set out to do when she was a little girl, you know, that we still have so much work to do. And so there were these really raw and honest moments. And, you know, some of it was aimed at white people, you know, so I could have become defensive, but there's really no purpose in that. And if you can sit with that discomfort, and if you can continue to listen deeply and say, you know, I hear you, I see you, and you matter to whoever you're sitting with, you know, there's a lot of learning that can happen. And when people feel heard that way, then they're encouraged to share really honest things. And that's when we can really get at these complicated conversations that, you know, lead us towards some sort of new understanding.
Yeah. And you also kind of follow that, I think, a chapter or two later with see through another's lens. Of course, the metaphor I get, you know, photographers see through another's lens. But the truth is we're so narrow focused from our own perspective, right? It's really hard to get the blinders off our own perspective. Well, this is way because this has been my experience. So of course this is how it is and this is how it should be. But you'll say, no, that's not correct. This is how it should be because this is from my perspective. They look through my eyes, you know? So I like that you have see through another's lens as a way of showing us that sometimes we need to really take a step back and look at a situation and experience through another person's eyes, so to speak.
You know, look, this whole process, I have walked into places that are unfamiliar to me. I've engaged in conversations around experiences that are not my own. And it's a regular process for me to hear these stories and go, you know, I never thought about it that way. I never saw it through that lens. And that process of self-reflection and self-examination is really an ongoing and useful process. And, you know, sometimes we get so familiar with the sphere we operate in. You know, we surround ourselves with people who look like us, who live like us, who work like us, and you don't even know what you don't know. And so, you know, it's really easy to spot those sort of biases in other people, and they're a little bit harder to acknowledge in yourself, but I don't find that threatening. In fact, I find it enlivening to sort of expand your view a little bit and see the world in this different light.
Before a show, to get prepared, you know, I really look at what the person's doing, and I'm thinking, how are you having the time to do all this? To be on the road, to schedule these, because you give people a lot of your time to hear their stories. And also, I just want to mention, people can listen to the recordings because you audio record the interviews, correct? And you also transcribe
that. Yeah, it all takes time, but you know, I don't golf. I don't watch a lot of TV, so I get a little time in my schedule.
But you could not watch TV with everything that you're doing between your book, photographing. Listen, I just know from editing alone how much time that takes.
Oh yeah, and you know, from time to time we have help from interns. I have help with some writers who help me. And so we formed a nonprofit and we're slowly building our team because this project is bigger than I am. And so we're building this team so that we can expand the reach of it. But yeah, they can go online and you click on a photo and you scroll down and you'll find the audio. And when you read Penina Bowman's story about surviving the Holocaust at, in a concentration camp at Auschwitz, you know, it's one thing to read the words, but to hear her speak those words and to hear the emotion in her voice is a profoundly human experience. And so, you know, we share it in different ways with the photos, with the transcribed interviews, with audio interviews in the exhibits, because people consume narrative in different ways. And so we're trying to reach out and engage all the people's senses so that they can take in some of this wisdom and beauty that we've been lucky enough to come across.
Yeah. And apparently you also do workshops.
Yeah, we do. I do, you know, a lot of times.
See, that's what I'm saying.
Why not?
You sure there's not two of you, one of you on the road driving and photographing and the other one doing all that other stuff?
I'm not sure the world needs two John Knowltoners, for crying out loud. But, so we do workshops and we'll sit down and we'll do writing workshops and we'll use some of these stories as launching points for, as prompts for exploring some of our own ideas. You know, this story of Bud Welch. Well, then let's examine when have you needed to forgive somebody and how would that free you up and the other person if you can find a way to do that. And we use these to access our own human story. And in that process, we start to find that common ground. And listen, I'm a middle-aged white guy, and I'm never going to know what it is to be Joanne Bland. I'm never going to have that same experience of being marginalized because of the color of my skin or to lose an opportunity for whatever judgment somebody has against me. But there are moments in my life where I've felt misunderstood. There are moments in my life when I've been felt pushed aside. And again, it's not for the same reasons and it's not in the same way. But if I can tap into that, it gives me a window and it gives me an opportunity to build compassion and empathy and maybe, you know, be a better ally for those who might be struggling around me for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
it's really interesting. As we do these workshops, as I share these stories, as I do these public art events, maybe it's a civil rights activist, maybe it's a middle school student, maybe it's somebody who's currently homeless, but we hear over and over again this sense of thank you for taking the time to believe that I had something worth listening to.
Absolutely.
Thank you for acknowledging my humanity. And I mean, at the end of the day, what else can we do for one another?
No, it's true. And I heard this once more than anything else that people want is they want to be validated.
Yeah. Yeah. I see you. I hear you and you matter.
Exactly.
It turns out it's free. It takes almost nothing to give that to somebody, right? So why?
Right, that's
why
true.
Resist it? Why do we resist sharing that? If, look, as we gather these stories, if there's one human experience that's almost universal, it's pain. And we've all experienced it in different ways, and mine doesn't look like yours looks and doesn't look like the other guy over there. But why do we spend so much of our time, A, trying to compare and compete with who has more pain, or B, trying to inflict more pain? What if we used a small fraction of that energy to consider how we could be active in healing some of that pain around us? What would that do to the world?
Right. Well, that's why I love your project so much. I mean, to me, photography always tells a story, you know, because I love to look at especially documentary photography or portraits or just, you know, I get into my own story. But you actually having the story alongside the image just brings it to another level, right? Because when I look at a group of photos and I don't know anything about it, I put my own perspective and my own imagination into it, you know, and I imagine what it is. But with these portraits, you're actually saying, look at this person, look at, you know, this person matters and this is their story.
Yeah, I have that I want to say through my art, but also I want to be a vehicle that can help amplify other voices, because I don't care who the person is, there's so much beauty and there's so much wisdom all around us that if I can curate that, if I can find a way to help amplify that, that's, you know, that's my role in the world as an artist and as a human, I think.
Yeah. So where are you going to be heading next? Do you have some after the holidays? Or are you guys going back out? Or?
Yeah, so I might not have given you the full truth before. Our trailer is broken beyond repair. So we're sort of for that warranty process to unfold. And when it does, we're not sure exactly what it's going to look like, but we're going to retool and we're going to radically downsize even further, I think, and carry on with the journey. So we expect to go down to the Southwest and talk about some water scarcity and some environmental issues, again, some immigration issues, and then we're going to work our way up across the country, eventually winding up in New England next fall. But it's all a little fluid right now. We're learning how to live with uncertainty at the moment.
Interesting. Because the whole world is learning how to live with uncertainty, right? So without, or however that saying goes, right? It's always a reflection. Well, how can those listening today help, you know, with your project? Because you have this ongoing project. So what can people do, you know, if they want to help you?
You know, I encourage people to follow along. Again, the website is apomm.net, and we're posting stories regularly on there. I invite people to read this new book. We've got all these resources and discussion guides, so you can lead a book club discussion. You can bring it into your school, and you can get the book on our website, but you can get it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever your favorite bookseller is. It's everywhere. And, you know, I'd also invite people to give. If this is the sort of project that they want to support, you can go on to the website and click on the donate button and make a gift. We, at key moments, this project has grown through the support of a grassroots effort of people who believe that storytelling can connect us and that we can all figure out how to do better together.
Oh, I love that. Oh my God. All right, we only got a minute. Is there any story or wisdom you think you want to leave us with today?
Well, let me just really quickly close with that story of Penina Bowman, that woman who survived in the Holocaust.
Yes.
And she said that it was really hard to find peace in there. But when she was there, she chose not to hate. Because she said, hate's the powerful weapon and it's intended to destroy someone else. But in fact, it circles back and it destroys you instead.
Wow.
So why not choose love?
That, to be able to not choose hate in that particular circumstance is like incredible to me, because I don't know that if I could, honestly, if I had to go through something like that. I mean, and she lost her whole family. Did she lose her whole family?
Yeah, she lost both of her parents, 42 members of her family there.
42 members? Oh, my God.
And again, I don't know how on earth I would ever respond to that, but if there was a trace of the grace and hope and forgiveness that Penina had, maybe I could find a way to move forward.
Wow. Yeah, that's incredible. People like that are incredible to me. They have an inner strength and inner knowing that we need more of to heal the planet, to heal our world, and heal our relationships with each other. That's for sure. Well, John, I mean, it was such a great pleasure having you on my show today and talking to you. And I really just love your project so much and love your book. So I thank you. Thank you so much for being here with me today.
Yeah, thanks, Melissa. It's great to talk to you. Enjoy the rest of the year.
You too. So you guys, please check out John Noltner and his work, and you can see all about him. He's got everything on his website, which is apomm.net. So go there and see the work that he's doing and see those amazing photos. It's pretty amazing stuff. All right, everyone. Thank you for listening to Postcards to the Universe with Melissa, Creating the Life You Crave, and I'm wishing everyone a wonderful week filled with joy, abundance, and love. Peace.